from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's definitely as advertised, right? You know, I think they got a bunch of weapons over there, and you know, obviously just had a really good week running the football too, and that kind of only just opens things up for him in terms of the play action game, taking shots down the field when you kind of have to load the box if you're not stopping the run. So I know that'll be a point of emphasis for us this week. You know, it's a really good football team, and you know, we're excited because we know it's a great challenge. You know, Sunday night, it doesn't get much better than that against a really high quality opponent. But you know, they got weapons everywhere. Like I said, I think they're back. Are really good. Their offensive line is really good, and you know, they got a guy who orchestrates it all. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's going to be I know it's going to be jumping in there too. So we're excited to get down there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of TJ Edwards. He made 4 tackles while he was on the midday show.
Can got you credited that? With yes. 4 more? Really?
No, he did it.
Film review? Oh, he did?
He was doing it unbelievable. He was like,
he's everywhere.
This guy's unbelievable. He's all over the field. He's talking there about C.J. Stroud and the Texans. He was on The Score yesterday.
And C.J. Stroud, one of the best young quarterbacks in football, any objective ranking would have him top 10 conservatively, right? Some maybe even top 5 after a rookie season.
Sure.
That might be overrating his potential, the ceiling perhaps, but I think he was everything and then some. He exceeded expectations in his rookie year. And this begs the question now, with the Bears headed to Houston to play the Texans on Sunday Night Football, national television audience, and you can look at, Bears could have had him. You posed the question of the week in submitting our pick 6 questions. And I think I wanted to take more time here to explore the answer because it's complicated. It requires more than just 60 seconds in our answers. And I also think it underscores just what you can look at from a Bears fan perspective this week. And this is my opinion.
Sure.
Celebrate what you have in front of you in terms of the haul, as you compare it to what you could have had you kept the pick and taken C.J. Stroud. So how did you word the question that Dustin ignored?
I worded it in such a way that Dustin immediately decided to just...
Well, why don't we share the question?
Cancel it.
He's got it.
Yeah,
he's going to get it.
Do you have it in front of you? I mean, I'm
sorry.
I don't have it in front of me. I can read it to you if you want, but give me a quarter of a second. Well, my technology is moving slower than I would prefer. Okay. So,
in retrospect, should the Bears have kept the number one overall pick, they traded to Carolina and selected C.J. Stroud, or was the bounty, including Caleb Williams, too rich to pass upon? When and how will the answer to this question be determined? Is the ring the thing?
I love the way you ended that.
Thank you, buddy.
It's poetic.
It rhymed.
Is the ring the thing?
Well, I think that's how it will be ultimately determined, frankly. I do think that point of the exercise is to find the fastest way to a championship, and that's usually through the quarterback. So you want a championship quarterback. If C.J. Stroud proves to be a championship quarterback and wins a title or two, and the Bears get continue their drought, then I think they made an error. But I think that the interesting part of the question is, I guess, would you rather have a strong football team? And first of all, Caleb Williams, we're not giving up on Caleb, and we'll find out if he ends up having the better career. And those are separate issues. But I think that the haul that you got for that pick, which will include, as we mentioned, next year's second round pick of Carolina, which will be a very high pick if their performance in week one is right. Any indication.
Okay.
That is a great number of players, and you've done very well in that trade. But before we're congratulating everything about it, there is the matter of whether CJ Stroud is a top five quarterback in the NFL, David. And if he is, that'll be reflected in their winning in the postseason. And he's already been to the postseason as a rookie. I think maybe Caleb will be the guy and will do all that. But it's just interesting that after a rookie performance in his first game, whether that's due to the amount of pressure, whether that's due to some offensive play calling, whatever way you want to determine it, you can ask yourself, well, it's great that they've got this player and you're ongoing. What if you had a guy that was going to make the playoffs?
Well, let's compartmentalize this stuff, okay? Because there's a lot there. So let's look at it. No, number one question, is the ring the thing? If Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud have similar careers and they both are Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks, are you evaluating, are you suggesting to evaluate this trade based on if CJ Stroud wins a Super Bowl and Caleb Williams does not, then the Bears lost the trade?
Yes.
Or they should have kept him?
Yes, the ring's the thing.
Okay. I don't know that I am on board with that, even though I understand that is the way we typically measure things in the NFL when we're talking about quarterbacks. That's a very interesting distinction to make, because I believe that the Bears, while understandable why we would look at this now, playing CJ Stroud and the Texans.
Right.
I don't think they really, there's no argument here. They had to do what they did. This is a team that is as good as we think it is or can be because of all that they got. The quantity outweighs the quality. The quantity of the players that they got in return outweighs the quality of the quarterback the Texans settled for at number two, or the Bears could have had at number one. The Bears took that number one pick, and this is what they got. They traded the Panthers, the number one overall pick, and in exchange they got the number nine overall pick, DJ Moore, second rounder in 2023, 2024 first-round choice that turned out to be the number one overall pick, and a 2025 second-round selection, which next year, as you alluded to, will be like a first-rounder. DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Caleb Williams, Torrey Taylor. Those are the players they ended up with. I don't think that you can say, I don't want to say it that way. My argument would be that the way that they improve the roster would be much more appealing to me than just a singular star quarterback, because you at least got a quarterback as part of the haul as well. So you got your guy. You got to live with it. You got to make Caleb Williams into the kind of quarterback that can win with the rest of the players that you got for this trade. To me, it's a no-brainer. This is one of the greatest trades in Chicago sports history. And yeah, would it be tempting now in retrospect to look at number one, just take CJ Stroud and live with what happens next? Maybe. I don't know if what happens next would be any good, because you just had CJ Stroud. You plug him in and play. I don't know that you're as good as you are now with all the other pieces.
Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes than Caleb Williams and all those players?
Yes.
So that's what the question
is.
Oh,
wow, you got me in the corner. I mean, that's...
If C.J. Stroud ends up winning a couple of Super Bowls because he's as good as he has started his career looking.
Well, that's interesting.
We don't know how that will turn out.
That's interesting.
Out.
So,
but that's what the question is.
What you're basically doing, you just exposed me as having some reservations about the path that C.J. Stroud's career will take.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm less certain about C.J. Stroud than I am Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I do think he's that good potentially, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes to me is the guy
it's
who's
like Jordan. Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, and you would always take Jordan.
Always.
Yeah. So I would always take Mahomes. C.J. Stroud to me is not Jordan yet.
And I'm not.
He's not even. He's not LeBron yet. He's not Dwayne Wade yet.
But I think it's an interesting idea because I think that what the question, you know, when we talk about trades, generally speaking, a good rule of thumb: whoever got the better player won the trade. Right? Don't we talk about that sometimes with some of these complicated baseball trades or some of these? Just the idea: who got the best player? And that's how you win a trade.
Yeah.
So now, I guess let's turn it around. Let's say that Carolina made that move, got the Bears pick, gave up all that they gave up, but they ended up drafting C.J. Stroud, and they didn't take. See what Carolina did is they not only gave up everything,
they drafted the wrong quarterback.
They got the wrong player.
Okay.
That's the thing. Where it wasn't the bad idea to try to get the best player. They just chose the worst of the two players.
They did. They white soxed it.
They totally, they Reinsdorfed everything they were doing, as you say, because they purposely took the wrong player.
Now we're getting off track.
Now we're having fun.
That's really true and interesting. But I also think that this is a very fun conversation to have. And we're having it in the midst of Caleb Williams throwing for 93 yards in his debut.
But you know, David, that's why this is such a perfect time to talk about it, because we know the haul that they got. We also know that they're playing C.J. Stroud. We would have talked about this regardless, but you're right. Because of the struggles when everybody in town was ready for the marching band to show up and everybody was the march to the glory, there was but it's the timing of the game
that
determines the conversation.
Because we expected that. I expected that. I thought Caleb Williams was going to be better immediately. He's struggling. He's going to continue to have these rookie struggles. That was a sobering reality on Sunday to realize and to recognize what a struggling young quarterback looks like. Okay. Had he been coming off a 300-yard performance, this question and this conversation would be silly, or at least deemed silly. It would be appropriate, because you have to always weigh these considerations, I think, and it's fun to do. But if C.J. Stroud was opposing Caleb Williams' 300-yard passer, we would not be looking at this as a possibility of what would the Bears be. Would the Bears be better off with C.J. Stroud?
So let's just break it down one layer less. If they didn't get Caleb Williams, is it a good trade?
No.
So you still got all the things that made
them. You're right. They had to get the quarterback right. They have to get the quarterback right.
Yeah.
My answer is rooted in the expectation that they've got the quarterback right.
Yes.
But if they get the quarterback wrong, it was a stupid move. Stupid's too strong. It was not the right move. It was the wrong decision, because obviously you want C.J. Stroud, if he's going to be reminiscent of Patrick Mahomes, if he is a quarterback like that, and if you're wrong about Caleb Williams, this trade should not have been made.
If they don't get the quarterback right, they made a bad trade.
I think you're right.
And then here's the other thing. Like,
you're right.
You know, I don't want to also jump to the conclusion that the Bears would have, like, would Houston, if Houston had the first pick, would they definitely have taken C.J. Stroud? I mean, in retrospect, of course. But
I don't know that they would.
Would they have taken Bryce Young the guy everyone was going to take? What if the Bears didn't make the trade, and then took Bryce Young?
Oh, my goodness.
That would have been like the worst case scenario.
It looks like it would have been the worst case scenario, because Bryce Young looks like somebody who is overmatched with the NFL speed of the game, with some of his limitations in his stature, a lot of things that maybe he'll get it, maybe he won't. C.J. Stroud really has not looked like a guy that you question in the same way. So the Bears could have taken the wrong quarterback. Yeah, that would be just perfect. That would have been so Bears to take Bryce Young and while C.J. Stroud blossoms in Houston.
But see, like, the worst case scenario, and this is the beauty of the conversation, to make the trade, to give up all that, and to then take the wrong quarterback. Like, Carolina has hit it out of the park because if they did everything wrong. They messed up the trade. They gave too much away, and then they got the wrong quarterback. Like the Bears, if they, you know, they didn't do that. They didn't hold on to the pick and take the wrong quarterback. They got rid of the pick, and they got a ton for it, and it's rebuilt their team, and now let's find out if they got the right quarterback.
That's true. And I think that it's a fun conversation, I think. The Texans may disagree. But I feel like, to me, it was still a good move, even though you want to obviously be right on the quarterback. It was still a good move because it put you in a position to build around a quarterback. It put you in a position to feel better about the way you build your roster. It put you in a position to go out and to make a trade for Montez Sweat that you feel very good about, to make other deals that you end up supplementing your roster because you have a core. You have pieces. DJ Moore. You have draft capital. All the things that allowed you to do as a general manager, and that would have been impossible to pull off if you didn't have all those picks and all those players.
And here's another layer of the whole thing, as long as we're having so much fun with it. And this guy says, so what you're saying is that if Stroud is Holmes-like, then the Bears essentially whiffed on Holmes twice. Two different administrations. You got to love that idea. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's unbelievable. If that were true, and we don't know yet what C.J. Stroud is, and we don't know yet if Caleb Williams and he are going to have similar, or one will be significantly better than the other. We don't know that. It's still all out there. But the fact that the two teams play each other is fascinating.
Well, C.J. Stroud has a season under his belt that leads you to believe that he has greatness in him.
No question.
And I think there's a pretty safe bet, and there's a consensus. We always talk about consensus. There's a consensus that Caleb Williams is going to be an excellent NFL quarterback. There's a consensus that C.J. Stroud, after that rookie season, is going to ascend into one of the elite quarterbacks in the league if he isn't already.
Yeah.
So the consensus is that the Texans have a guy that they feel like they can win a Super Bowl because of.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears got a guy they think the same thing.
Yeah.
Good. So both sides are in a position where, and look at the Texans. I know it's unrelated to the Bears, but look at the way the Texans made some moves this offseason because of the way C.J. Stroud improved quickly. They go out and they get Stephon Diggs. They go out and they get Danielle Hunter on the defense.
Yes.
They go out and they get Joe Mixon.
Yes.
They've got the offensive line piece. They've got the anchor there. So now
they believe they're ready to win now.
They are.
They also have, arguably a better setup for him, as it turns out, with Bobby Slowick being as good a coordinator as he is, with the head coach being better than you thought he was going to be. Like, there was a reason that they were going to get the number one overall pick until Lovey won that game and the Bears jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
And that reason was that they were a terrible team.
But Slowick's impact on C.J. Stroud was profound.
Yeah.
The hope in Chicago is that Shane Waldron can have a similar type impact on Caleb Williams. And I think after one game, it's too early and premature to conclude or much, because all we know is that they didn't score a touchdown and the personnel groupings were strange. But I don't want to jump to conclusions. But that is the comp. It's out there now. If the Bears want to be the Texans, the way the Texans were last year with their rookie quarterback, then the coaching staff has got to come through in a big way too.
I could talk about this stuff all day. I don't know why this appeals to me so much, but I love this conversation just because there's so much what if and if you did this and if you did that. And it's, listen, that's life and that is the NFL. I mean, Mahomes went into a situation with Andy Reid. It was a perfect situation for him, but he's also Patrick Mahomes. And I think that you know, there is a certain kind of pre-requirement for greatness that you got to have to eventually get there. And Caleb may well have it and may well yet show it, and I wouldn't throw that idea away.
And we're going to talk to Dan Weider here in a moment, but the last thought on that, you're exactly right. But even though it was only 7 years ago, Patrick Mahomes came into the league when there was much less pressure on these young quarterbacks to start and to produce immediately. Yep. He was in the ideal situation to progress at his own speed. He didn't start as a rookie. He wasn't thrust into the limelight. Caleb Williams had the job before he was fitted for a jersey.
And you know, I know this is going to sound crazy, but like C.J. Stroud is only came into the league a year ago, but he is nothing like Caleb Williams in terms of NIL and the deals and the money and the whole, like it's jumped significantly.
His maturity was questioned.
Never mind 7 years.
Yes.
In one year.
You're right. This is the first NIL celebrity type millionaire quarterback coming into the league whose poise and polish and composure wasn't under scrutiny in the way that C.J. Stroud's was. Remember why he had a lot of people doubting him, the ridiculousness of that test that he didn't do well on.
Right.
And a lot of the other things about his maturity that were turned out to be ridiculous assumptions. So you're right. This is the first kind of celebrity NIL era quarterback coming into the league. Let's hope he can throw for 100 yards at least on Sunday.
We'll continue the conversation with Dan Weider next. It's Mully and Haw on the Sport.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dan Weiderer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast with our own David Haw.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Weiderer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to get a chance to talk to Dan Weiderer, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. It's a Victory Wednesday. Those still exist in the NFL, right, Mully?
Yes, and we're still celebrating the glorious victory from last Sunday, the great opener. Extraordinary, as we know, we've gone over it, the idea that and I do think there is a statistic out there, Dan, where you get a punt return for a touchdown and you're over 80% likely to win a game. When you get a punt return for a touchdown and a pick six, I think you're over 90.
It's amazing. And I was telling Bigsy yesterday that when I was doing my research to figure out how rare it was to win a football game when you have less than 100 net passing yards, I was stunned to find out that the Bears have become pretty efficient at doing so. 12 wins with less than 100 net passing yards since the start of the 2004 season. That's almost hard to believe that they've been that effective, and the reason is because they've had pretty good defenses and pretty good special teams units.
A lot of storylines going into Sunday night in Houston, Dan. A lot of things the Bears want to focus on this week, but at the top of the list has to be improving the quarterback, getting Caleb Williams to look like he did in preseason, getting Caleb Williams to, you know, be a threat and consistent in the passing game. How do they do that?
Well, the Indianapolis Colts hit three passing plays for more than 50 yards against the Texans over the weekend. And so you should be able to find something in your study that allows you to unlock an explosive or two, right? And I think as soon as you do that, you bring a sense of confidence to the huddle. You bring a sense of calm to the huddle. You take away that urge to press that the Bears seemed to be feeling as that game moved on and on and on Sunday afternoon. You just have to find some moments, right, to strike and keep your offense moving in the right direction. It was an ugly performance in the opener. New offense, new quarterback, a lot of things being ironed out. You hope some of them get ironed out because you're going into Houston on Sunday for a bright lights, big stage game that everyone is going to be watching and everyone is going to be judging and everyone is going to be overreacting to when we get to Monday morning. And so hopefully the Bears can find a few answers in there.
So I think the way we looked at it this morning as we began some of our discussion of the game is that the Bears, their offensive tackles may be headed to the sort of test and scrutiny
yes.
in week two that the offense of the interior line seemed to fail at in week one. And I just guess that this offensive line question will be with us for a long time. It feels as if all the injuries and all the, you know, the lack of real competition for spots, if you will. I mean, we're seeing some now while the season is starting. We didn't see any competition at the center position because of injury. I guess Braxton Jones is going to get some help from Mercedes Lewis, but what are you looking at? You couldn't get the competition there with the rookie injured. I'm just wondering how different will the conversation be, or how similar, just with different names, will it be, in your opinion?
Well, you're right. I mean, the edges are the place where you need to put your eyes this week. And the Bears as an organization are no stranger to Danielle Hunter in the way that he can wreck a football game if you don't pay proper attention to him. And they're going to get their first look at Will Anderson this weekend as well. And so you better have a plan, you know. And as you mentioned, it doesn't have to be one-on-ones all the time. You can provide help out there. You can provide chips. You can use tight ends to assist you in certain ways. To provide that comfort for your quarterback. But the Bears are going to have to play better. I thought Darnell Wright had a pretty good game. We talked a lot about the interior of the lines. He played pretty well against the Titans on Sunday, and you got to carry that forward. And the offensive line can't be a conversation for us weekly. If it is, we've got big problems for the developmental plan of the quarterback. We better go through a 3 or 4 week span at some point during the regular season where we're just not talking about the offensive line because they weren't significant enough to talk about. And so that's what you want to work towards. They have a test this weekend, but they should be able to have not only the players, but the game plan to pass that test in a way that keeps them competitive in this football game. Again, you're going to put a lot on those two tackles, but you can also give them help to make sure that you're not creating problems where none need to exist.
What insight can you provide on the status of Roma Dunze week to week with an MCL issue, a sprained knee apparently? And how might that affect whether or not Tyler Scott is active? And will it have any effect on whether or not Velus Jones is active?
Well, if you're depleted in the receiving core, David, and you heard me say on Monday night that it's not just Rome. I want to get a look at Keenan Allen's practice participation today and figure out how close to full strength he is, if he is close. And so at that point, you need to have bodies available. And so I would imagine that Tyler Scott, just from a receiver depth standpoint, would be active to begin with. The Velus Jones conversation is totally different. Again, you know where I stand on this. I don't know how you can trust that kid to have the football in his hands anymore. He's just made way too many game-changing mistakes and not enough game-changing plays. And so if you're retooling at the kickoff return position, you've got DeAndre Carter back there, and then you're either going to mix in Khalil Herbert or Tyler Scott. So I would think Tyler Scott would be up. As far as Rome goes, if you're the Bears, you have to play this cautiously. You have to understand that it's week two and the second game of a very promising rookie's career, and you don't want to create a longer recovery plan than necessary. And so I would think that you would take the cautious route and hold him out Sunday. I will tell you this, Roma Dunze is a really, really, really tough individual. And a year ago, he suffered a punctured lung in a game at Arizona State, couldn't get on the plane back to play to go back to Washington, and ended up playing the next week in the rivalry game against Oregon. And so you talk about a kid who's going to do everything within his power to get himself back and ready and available as soon as possible. He's going to do that, but I think as an organization, you have to protect him a little bit.
Yeah. That's insane. but yeah, I think you definitely have to take care of him. We had a fun conversation about just kind of the weird connection between the Bears and Houston, not just Lovie winning that game that gave the Bears the number one overall pick. But, you know, the extraordinary trade made with Carolina, which then Carolina takes Bryce Young, which allows Houston to take C.J. Stroud. And then we talked about the idea of what if the Bears hadn't made that trade? Would they be better off with C.J. Stroud than this current situation, depending on how these careers all work out? And it's fun to kind of talk about and look at, et cetera. What are your thoughts on the subject?
It's even more fun to talk about 10 years down the road when we know all the final results, right? And then you can judge with great clarity and say, they should have done this without any sort of hesitation. And this is the way it worked out for the Bears. I think everyone saw the reasoning that they did what they did in 2023, trying to see it through with Justin Fields in a way that gave him a fair opportunity to retain that starting job. You obviously did so passing on Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. You did so without knowing that the lottery ticket was going to cash and you were going to fall right into Caleb Williams, which was the greatest blessing that this organization got with that decision. I just want to see both these quarterbacks kind of grow and develop and see what that looks like over the long haul. I think the Bears are in a really good spot right now, despite the results of one game in early September. And now you just have to have the right plan and the right approach to steering your rookie quarterback through some of these inevitable bumps and bruises that he's going to endure in the early part of his career in a way that keeps him as steady as he seems to be naturally.
When we hear from Shane Waldron tomorrow, how open do you think he will be to the notion that maybe he didn't have a great day, that he's still learning this team and this personnel, especially when it comes to groupings in terms of knowing what they're capable of doing? Because, Dan, I think that it is only one game, and there were a lot of factors that contributed to them only having 56 snaps, but it wasn't a great first impression.
No, it wasn't. And look, like I'm usually tolerant with new offense coordinators and new systems and those types of things for the first month of the season. Let's get through September. Let's see how they've kind of evolved and changed and adapted as the month goes on, and then have a little bit bigger sample size to know what this offense is trying to be, right? It takes a little while to get an identity. It takes a little while to know which personnel groupings you really want to lean on. It takes a little while to get your quarterback comfortable, particularly a rookie who's doing this for the first time. And so Shane did not have a terrific game on Sunday. Obviously, that was shown in the results. I think he will stand up there tomorrow, David, and be accountable for that. And then the bigger part of the program is finding the answers and the solutions to fix it for week two, because you can stand up at a podium and be accountable all you want. If you don't turn your offense into one that can consistently move the football and can't get more than 11 first downs and 150 total yards in a game where you have, you know, 9 true possessions, well, then you've got problems on your hands. And so they're going to have to adapt again. Shane has been lauded as a guy who is one of his greatest strengths is the ability to adapt and evolve on the fly. Let's see it in week two.
Dan, I guess as we sit here right now and we look at it, first trip, first time on the road, the defense looked great in the first game. They've got improved weaponry. You talk about some familiar names being aboard along with C.J. Stroud now. What happens with the defense? Who's the guy to keep an eye on?
Well, look, like there's too many guys to keep an eye on. Joe Mixon had a really, really strong first game and was kind of the engine of that win over the Colts on Sunday. But then you've got a receiving core where you got Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and you're going to have to use your very strong secondary to limit the big plays that those guys have. Stephon Diggs seemed like a little bit of an afterthought going into the opener, and then he scores 2 touchdowns for him. And you remember that, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to have to find a way to blanket these receivers in a way that keeps them from breaking the game open. The Bears obviously had a really, really nice day defensively. Jalen Johnson is playing as good a football on the back end of the defense as anyone in the league right now. And so you lean into your strengths, you know, and you hope you make a few more big plays than they do and keep that game within reach, because the defense is going to have to be the engine for the Bears in the short term. And they're going to have to be that Sunday night for sure.
Great stuff, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Safe travels.
All right, guys, you got it. Enjoy the week.
That is Dan Weiderer. Fun to talk to him.
Good stuff. He's locked in. Big day at Hallis Hall. We'll hear from Caleb Williams. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus with an update on Roma Dunze. And I hope we hear them committed to taking the cautious road with the rookie receiver. You don't need him necessarily
proving that he can play with whatever.
He may be tough, and yeah. the punctured lung anecdote is something that speaks to his toughness, but I don't think you need to prove it the second game of your NFL career.
All righty. Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
With Pro, Matt, what's your concern level there?
Like I said, I'll see. We'll see. It's not. I don't have enough information yet. We'll see on Wednesday.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is the voice of Matt Eberflus. He's the head coach of the team. Didn't have a lot of information on Roma Dunze until Wednesday. Guess what day it is?
It's Wednesday. We'll hear some clarity later today. It may be a case of them wanting to play games with the injury report or the Texans' gamesmanship and be day-to-day. It's more likely week to week. You don't want to rush a guy back who means as much to your franchise as the ninth overall pick does. That's the thing.
Yes.
He's still the ninth overall pick, regardless of his pecking order on the depth chart or what option he is in the passing game. This is an asset that you need to protect because Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze can grow together and be here for a very long time. So you don't want to be in a hurry to get him back on the field.
And DJ Moore at one point had to go into the tent during that game. We talked to him on Monday. He said he's fine. He joked that the old man, we asked him about Keenan Allen. We didn't really ask him about Roma Dunze because we didn't know that there was an injury that came up actually on Monday. That didn't come up on after Sunday's game. But he joked about the old man will be fine and it made a joke about Keenan Allen. And I got to just say, just to echo what you're saying, Roma Dunze, be patient with him. Make sure it's healed. Don't try to get this Iron Man tough guy thing going. And that includes whether or not either or both of those guys are on the injury report as well. Okay? It doesn't matter if there's no one else available. This is still game number two of a 17-game season. And we don't need any kind of proof of how good the guy is or any kind of risk involved in any fashion, regardless of who's out.
This decision has to be made independent of anything on the depth chart or the opponent.
Yeah,
it can't matter. It can't matter that you're down to maybe even DJ Moore if Keenan Allen isn't available. I think Keenan Allen will probably be one of these situations where week to week you're wondering about whether or not he's going to be 100%. Maybe this will go away, but he has had these things linger in the past, and he is 32 years old. But I don't believe that you let that affect you either in terms of your decision on a Dunze. You're not there yet. He's a rookie after one game. This was surprising news that Matt Eberflus kind of just dropped casually.
Midway through the news conference.
Very strange. So keep an eye on that. Hopefully there'll be no other surprises on the injury report, but this is going to be a challenge. And I don't want to give Caleb Williams built-in excuses. If he has Roma Dunze or not, he's got to be better. He's got to find a way. He's got enough weapons. So not having your rookie wide receiver is not going to have any impact, I think, on what you should expect from Caleb Williams in week two.
I'm curious, how do you think the NFL will respond to the Christian McCaffrey news, which apparently is that he has tendonitis in his Achilles tendon, and that was why he didn't play in the game yesterday, and why they didn't announce it is a mystery to everyone.
Well, it was a mystery to everyone but Kyle Shanahan. He had to have known. And if he had to...
He's got to be on the injury report, though.
He wasn't. So that's the problem.
So do you think they'll come down?
Yes, I think they have to, don't you? I think
unequivocally.
As public as this has become, you not only... There are reasons why injury reports exist. There are reasons why coaches comply and should be forced to comply with them. There's a lot at stake in terms of just more than just the guys who are watching tape and planning, devising ways to stop the 49er offense. You cannot be oblivious to the gambling implications, to the there's a lot of things that there's a lot of reasons why these rules exist. You can't just let them get away with this.
And a texter checks in and says, why not use Komet? Well, that question remains regardless of who's hurt or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make an ounce of sense that guy didn't play more. Hopefully that message will get through, and hopefully that will happen.
Well, that's what I mean about Shane Waldron. Did not have a great day. He needs to address the lack of usage for Cole Kmet, 27 snaps. He's your number one tight end. Can you imagine George Kittle? I mean, no. I know it's no. Having 27 snaps no. for the 49ers in week one.
Only if he was surprisingly injured before the game and they scratched him late.
No, but there are no surprise injuries in San Francisco.
That's right. They tell the replacement two days earlier.
Right.
All right. We've got a lot. We got a lot to get to. We're going to get to Ozzie Guillen next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.